morning, honorable members and the department and their entity and guests. Again, we are officially opening our meeting as expected. Seeing from the faces that are there, although the secretary is still going to give us a record as we are correct, because we must always double check that and not take it for granted. We have to start. We are working very hard, and I wish we would try to shorten our questions and other things so that if we have time left, members can go and start preparing their debate speeches if they are not participating in other committees. So I would ask that I would be a little bit wanting us to focus our discussion. Just a reminder, honorable members, that last meeting we had, that we agreed that we must seek for a legal advice in relation to existing APPs that during the budget processes were sent to Parliament, Speaker's office. Then they were sent to us after all that was done. But the issue at hand that made us to want to get a legal advice, which we could have received last week, but it was not ready because they had not said to understand what are we looking for. What legal advice are we looking for? The legal advice is important to say, in a situation where budget processes have been done to a level of a portfolio committee to deal with it, if there is an incident that took place and that information is not part of the current APPs. I think members know what we're talking about. We're talking about the judgment and its implications on the current APPs that we are now interrogating. As a result of that, my office did everything, because that unit was not present, they arrived late. So we could not restart. So Mr. Mzengane is here today on behalf of the parliamentary legal side of our things, and is going to take us through the legal opinion. And we will entertain that. This is going to assist us in legally applying our minds in assessing the APPs. So the first item, because members will remember we agreed that every week we will get an update. Well, as long as there's a week, they'll tell us what they have done after they left this forum. So part of that is that the department is going to participate in interpreting, in engaging in the legal opinion, because we also don't want them to be coerced to go a particular route, because they also have to work within the limits of their mandate and law. And also, we also create environment which is going to assist us to do our oversight properly. Going forward, we want to do the oversight on detachment issues. Are they compliant? But for us to be able to do that, we must understand where we are and what legal process is required. So the department will listen carefully to a legal opinion brought by the portfolio committee as per last meeting mandate. So this legal opinion is meant to assist and facilitate dealing with the amendments required on the APPs. I think that's how the agenda is going to be. And our focus, because we want to move and we don't want to delay our budget date by any means, so we will use legal processes to legally amend the APPs. And therefore, the structures that are required to be involved, the Speaker's office, there is correspondence with them. They know that today we will come out being able to say what we need Parliament to do to facilitate that these judicial prescripts get attended to and the budget is available so that we can keep to time limits that we were given by the department, having been instructed by the court ruling. That's what I wanted to give that background, so that there's no confusion as why are we now doing this, are we now doing this. But first and foremost is to do our routine housekeeping by knowing who is present, who is not present, and then accept those apologies, and then we go straight to the items that I've outlined. Thank you so much. I really did welcome everyone, and I'm also welcoming the legal unit. And I do believe that the legal unit, when they live here, they will make arrangements that this portfolio committee has reached a stage where we need someone to be always available in our meetings on the part of law, so that Parliament is not found wanting. And with that, I can allow now the Secretary to read those who are present, who are not present. I don't know who must be. Is it those who didn't come or those who have come? She knows what to do. She won't be misled.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and departmental officials today. Chairperson, I have two apologies from the honorable members. One is from Honorable Van der Merwe and Honorable Dudley. They indicated that they will join us at a later stage due to prior arrangements. Another apology is from the CEO of SASSA, Mr. Magwaza. He indicated that he won't be able to attend this meeting due to prior workshop with SAPO with regard to the payment system. He sincerely apologized, humbly apologized for being unable to be here with us today. Another one is from the acting DG, Ms. Vilakazi, who had a prior arrangement. She has a meeting with the MEC in Pietermaritzburg. And the minister is at the joint. She's coming, but currently she attended a joint cabinet meeting, which takes place as we speak. But she promised that if the meeting finishes early, she will join the meeting. Chairperson, we are a quorum, and the proceedings of the committee can continue. Thank you
so much. But to add and remind members that we have a standing apology for the deputy minister, who is now currently hospitalized. She has been sick, but not admitted to hospital. So she is in hospital as we speak. And I also would want to convey a message that we wish her that she can have a speedy recovery and join us in our work. So I hope that one is easily understood and accepted. Thank you so much. Now, can I allow the Mr. Mjengwane to give us information? Okay.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I think there is just one housekeeping matter that we should get in order. Who is leading SASSA today? Because we have an apology from the CEO, and then the department has two officials here, and we have an apology from the acting DG, who is leading the department. Because it's very important, the PFMA say we should know, so that whoever's leading take responsibility for this meeting and is accountable at the later stage when it comes to this meeting, please. And as I always say, it must be in writing. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Chairperson, we haven't adopted the agenda. Thank you.
Then the two items are going to be attended to. The secretary must respond to Honorable Makas, and then we will call for the adoption of the agenda. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think my eyes are a little bit blurred. And the same letter of the CEO, there is a last sentence saying that in his absence, he has requested the CFO of SASSA to lead the delegation. Apologies for not being able to read that sentence. Thank you.
For me also to apologize, because the CEO and other members of SASSA had stated that due to last week's recommendations, they are sitting together with SAPO and other stakeholders to chart the way forward so that they can make their time in to be able to come and present. So can I then call for the adoption of the agenda? Honorable Bev, so it has been adopted. Thank you for the advice, because we must be good in record keeping. No omissions at all. I'm so happy. You are on the floor.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, honorable members and colleagues. Chair, in our presentation of what we've
just a minute. Do all members have this copy? Oh, thank you. Okay. You can go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. In our presentation of what you've already introduced, Chair, an opinion which has been provided to members, copies of which have been provided to members, we will try not to waste the committee's time by going too much into the background, because it is well known. We will also, or at least in the opinion, Chair, we have not gone back to define and describe the purpose of the APP, because that is known to the committee. They say that annual performance plans are important for the committee because they are documents with which the committee will be able to exercise effective oversight over the relevant institutions. This one, the relevant one here being SASSA. We were requested, Chairperson, to answer a very narrow and specific question relating to the annual performance plan of SASSA, which was submitted to the assembly, to the Speaker of the National Assembly, who in turn submitted it to the committee. Chairperson, in our opinion, we allude to the fact that subsequent to the submission of the annual performance plan, which takes into account all the planning, budgeting, monitoring, and evaluation, implementation of the department. Subsequent to its submission to the Speaker and to the committee, subsequently, there was a far-reaching decision of the Constitutional Court in the Black Vest matter. which is well known to the committee. That matter, Chairperson, has specific action points that are directed to SASSA and to the Minister for Social Development. And in its outcome or in its order specifically, the court makes directions which should be undertaken by SASSA that have budgetary or that have budgetary implications. And this has a direct effect on the submitted APP. And because of this, Chairperson, the submitted APP does not reflect or would ordinarily not reflect what's in the judgment because it came subsequently. The nature of the judgment, Chairperson, is such that it's a constitutional court decision, and with the constitution being supreme and constitutional court decisions being binding over any other matter, it will be important for the APP that is submitted before the committee to be aligned with the outcomes of that judgment or with the findings of the constitutional court. In our advice, Chair, we say that the rules of the National Assembly, in terms of which the APPs get submitted to Parliament and later to the committee, provide for a procedure on how a submitted APP can be updated to align it with the findings of the Constitutional Court. And we say in our opinion, Chair, that this is not a discretionary issue that could be done or may be done. Because of the binding nature of Constitutional Court decisions, the submitted APP by the department must be aligned with the Constitutional Court. To assist the committee to comply, to assist the department and SASSA to comply with the constitutional court decision, and also to assist the committee to carry its oversight, to carry out effective oversight function. We have found, Chairperson, in our conclusion or in our advice to the committee, that the committee is advised to inform SASSA that the current APP needs to be updated to reflect what is in the constitutional court decision and resubmitted in the same manner that the one that's been submitted was submitted. The constitutional court decision itself does not invalidate the submitted APP. However, to the extent that it is inconsistent with the constitutional court decision, it would need to be updated and realigned and therefore resubmitted to replace the one that has been submitted. That's in a nutshell the advice that we've.
Do members want to make a comment, or do they want that I give those who are responsible, who are going to do the work, to have an opportunity to interrogate the advice? Mama Wilson?
Thank you. Point of clarity, Chair. Thank you very much. And thank you for the legal team for coming to assist on this matter. And indeed, constitutionality is key. And obviously, we must stay in line with the Constitutional Court judgment. And I understand that what you're saying to us is that the APPs must be reworked to include the Constitutional Court issues in the APPs, and obviously also the budgets, because one thing to add words, but you've got to add money, because that's what we are, that's what we're measured on. Am I correct? Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me welcome the presentation. I think it's very clear, Chairperson. It's very clear. But the only thing that I would really want to know from the legal person now that they are here, in terms of the time frames, now that we will be going to the budget vote, what are the implications if we deal with this matter after we have dealt with the budget vote? I just want to clarity around that issue, if we can be clarified, because we will be going for the budget vote and the time. Perhaps I don't know how long is SASSA going to take to deal with the alignment, because we might be talking with a lot of work that needs to be done in line with the
in line with the what the Constitutional Court has said SASSA should do. Thank you, Chair.
Ms. Oledi, I think your question will also be drawing the department in so that they can tell us what extent of work they will do. When they answer you, when Mr. Mjenglane answers you, the department later on will have to coin that. Mayor Malchas and Medak Uyoste.
Thanks. I think I'm going to withdraw my question because I wanted the department in to, you know, because they have program 3 that will have to be aligned. Thank you. You covered me.
Okay, later on. Mama Yuse?
Yes, Honourable Chair. I also just want clarity whether it's not going to affect the overall budget of the department. You know, and then by implication, the APP of the department as well.
Go to the department when they respond. The member next to you, were you having your hand up or were you touching your face? Were Namamu present? That's great. Thank you so much for saving our time. Mr. Mjenglane, you will do whatever you want that you feel is in your field. The other questions will also be asked, will be responded to by the department or SASSA.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Chair, I don't think that I could say much from the legal implications of the questions that have been posed, because much of it is from an implementation perspective, and the department and SASSA would be better placed to provide the necessary information. Safe to say, there is a program of Parliament that has already been set, and the extent to which the committee and the department agree what of that program or how much of that program will be affected by the work that needs to be done, I think the issue of planning and what the committee decides to do eventually. That's in regard to the time frame share. And of course, the budgetary implications of this realignment is obviously an issue that the department is best placed to speak to. The comment by the honourable member about the synchronicity of constitutionalism is common cause, because that which comes from the constitutional court, as we've said, has a binding effect on all concerned. That includes SASSA, the department, parliament, and everyone else who is affected. Thank you.
So, partly, are you covered in the mayor's already?
Not exactly. I just wanted to check the implication in case they don't finish the alignment of the APP up until we go next week to the budget votes. Is there something in terms of parliament or rules or whatever, the constitution or whatever, that allows or that affirms the speaker or that gives the speaker to accept it even if it's after that process is paid up? I just want to check that, because possibility is everything has happened within a short space of time. And even ourselves as legislators, we can't just think that it's going to happen as soon as possible. The alignment is not going to happen as soon as possible, because it's a process, it's an annual process. They have to align a lot of issues for them. I'm worried about the period because we are going to the budget vote next week. So I wanted to check in terms of, because when we go to the budget cycle, then the first thing is your APP, you have to submit them, then you go for your budget vote. Now with this one, because of the implication of the constitutional court, the APP that has been submitted has to be withdrawn, then the alignment. And already we are left with 5 days, if I may say. We are just left with 5 days. I wanted maybe perhaps you can clarify to us as the members in terms of law, what then is going to happen? Because I don't want us, after all of this thing, we come and then ourselves as members, we come back and we hammer the department or the or SASSA on what has whatever the processes that have happened. The processes are not normal. Some of us, it's for the first time, perhaps we are coming across the situation like this.
Mm.
And unfortunately, the situation has got a court ruling that we all have to respect, including ourselves as the oversight structure and the department. So that's what I wanted to check. In terms of, are we then going, perhaps you might not have the answers as now, because we didn't prepare you perhaps for such answers, but if we can get that, Chairperson, so that as we move forward, we know we are going to that budget. We understand budgets are estimates, obviously. It might happen in that estimate that they've done some issues are going to be covered already within the estimate. But what then?
If the Honourable Member won't be worried, I would say the question will be responded to at a later stage when the department has indicated where does this advice opinion place them, what is available, as we have said, are they in a bad shape in terms of having absolutely nothing or we'll get it from them. But Mr. Jengane will then come back again to clarify that issue. So can we allow the department to ask to engage with the opinion and also state their position insofar as responding to this emergency, and therefore nitty-gritties about they are not going to make it, they will make it, they will, and so on, will emanate from your input. So can we give the department that opportunity?
Thank you, Chair. My name is Mzoli Sidoni. Chair, with regards to the legal opinion, we understand the importance, and since we've received the issues from the Constitutional Court, we have no other options but to embrace those and make sure that within what has been given to us, we are then able to rework in terms of the APP that has already been submitted by SASSA. My colleague Chauka is going to explain in terms of what we think should be the way forward, and also understand also the urgency of this matter, that we next week were supposed to be the committee is supposed to be presenting dealing with the budget vote, and that we will make the suggestion in terms of what we think we can do within this given period, and Chauka will speak to that.
Such activities include the costed amount. We know we're talking about estimates, but you do know the programs and the operations that come out of addressing and complying. So you will also give us a taste of what is it that you need to align with what. And then having aligned your performance plans, you will also talk about budget and its implications, so that we are very clear and limit questions, and then I'll give members to interrogate what you have said. Can you be on the floor?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to Honorable members. Yes, we have considered the legal opinion as presented. We as part of what our preparations was to engage with the committee was we have looked at the progress report, but also looked at some of the pointers that we thought the committee can digest and be able to have a view of what are the implications. For the department itself, we understand that because the department deal with the big money, there will be no any material impact in relation to that, because the allocation for the big money, which the department is responsible for, will not necessarily be affected in terms of the payment of the grant. But what will be affected largely, it will be the transfer amount allow us to give the progress in terms of that. Within that progress, we can deal with how we proposing that we can deal with the changes to the committee, if the committee so wishes. Because I think it is important that when we take the alignment right from the work that we're currently doing, and be able to contextualize how we need to process the other elements. So if you allow us, Chairperson, there is a presentation that we have prepared, which will cover some of the aspects that the committee want to know. And I'm of the view that probably you can allow us that opportunity that we run quickly through it.
You are already on the floor. Please.
Okay. Thank you very much. I will allow the EM responsible for strategy, Ms. Raphahla Ramphupa, to quickly take us through in terms of the progress and in terms of how we need to approach the alignment in terms of the activities that need to be done. On a high level, what we understand is that there will be a need for SASA to reprioritize some of the activities that are in the APP. So in terms of how we're going to be funding that. Linked to that will be our engagement with National Treasury in terms of where we think that are critical elements where we may have a shortfall to deal with that. But the critical part is that we have to realign the current allocated budget to give effect to the court. And some of the issues will really need engagement with National Treasury. Let me allow the responsible for strategy to quickly take the committee through. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you, members, and good morning. Good morning, colleagues. After the portfolio committee last week, we went back at SASA, even after getting the court judgment, we analyzed our APP in detail just to understand what are the possible implications and to identify whether there are clauses or there could be clauses that are contradicting the spirit of the constitutional court judgment. So far, it's safe to clearly spell out that within the APP as it exists, there's nothing that contradicts. But what is missing is that we have not clearly spelled out some of the projects that need to be done. But in terms of contradiction, there isn't anything that contradicts. And from the legal opinion, what gives me comfort was the fact that the judgment does not necessarily invalidate the APP that exists, because already we have captured the fact that we need to go into a new process and into phasing out CPS. So I will also point out some of the clauses that are already catered for within the APP and how we propose to deal with them. But shortly, let me, and I'll ask the legal people to confirm with me whether I'm correct that we could go together and present the budget speeches as is, if there's no contradiction. But I'll just go to give the presentation on the progress report in the meantime. At the meeting with the portfolio committee on the 10th, it was agreed that SASA should work out on a detailed and concept plan, which it should come back and present to the committee. The second element was that SASA should relook into the APP and take into consideration the constitutional court judgment and the financial implications thereof. Number one, on the issue of the detailed concept plan, we're still working on it, and the workshop with SAPO will do that, but I will unpack it further. The issue of the APP, we have already started the process. I'll also indicate the areas that we are going to amend and what we are proposing going further into that. On the 12th of May, on the page one of the report that was circulated, on the 12th of May, an inter-ministerial committee meeting was held, which was chaired by the president, where SASA gave progress to the committee, and they raised questions, and some of the questions that were raised were similar to those raised by the committee in terms of they worried that we need to speed up the process and to ensure that we have costed the plan and that we follow all the right procedures in terms of whatever engagement or contract that we get in. I would like to mention to the committee that as SASA, we have already confirmed that we will not be able to take over in a period of 12 months, and therefore will be required to get into an agreement or into a,
to procure a services from an alternative service provider. Hence our engagement with SAPO, but also we are looking at areas where SAPO is not coming strongly, that we should go on a competitive bidding process. I will also highlight some of the processes that will be following into that. Yesterday, as members will be aware, we also had engagements with SCOPA, which also still raised the same thing that the committee raised on the issue that they need a detailed concept plan, and they have requested us to submit that to them in a matter of 2 weeks, which will be done, and the copy thereof will also be made available to the committee, because we have also made a commitment to the committee. Today, there's a big engagement that is the work with SAPO. And this is a follow-up on the RFI process that was started. We are all engaging and following up on issues that were not clear in the written report, so that we don't get into a commitment and we found that what are the security risks, who takes responsibility for what, and what is it that is not feasible within the arrangement that needs to go on procurement. Hence the delay in the costing plan, because some of the costing that are already, the preliminary costing that are coming, need to be clarified, particularly if we are going to do the break-in of services or if we are going to get into system integrator process. The next part that I'll deal with is on page 2, where I'm talking about the possible APP amendments that we've spoken about in the previous meeting. Already within the APP, there are paragraphs that I have quoted that already start to indicate that even within the APP this year, already SASA had anticipated the phasing out of CPS. So it doesn't contradict the outcome. The only thing was that the issue was the issue of the time period, and there was no clear pronouncement in terms of some of the targets in terms of getting a new service provider. So we did not necessarily clearly spell it out. But already the statements that are within them, I've just indicated if you go into the AP, the real APP, you can see the clauses because I've quoted them verbatim. The first one is that from the ministers forward, already there's that commitment. And the CEO's overview in paragraph 1 and in paragraph 2 already says that. And more importantly is where the CEO indicates that the current social contracts come to an end. And the fact that we will have to ensure that we appoint a new service provider, which will take responsibility for new services come into the new financial year. The CEO went further to indicate that we will be phasing out CPS, which is a priority for this financial year, which is in line with the spirit that is in the Constitutional Court judgment. And therefore, on that, in terms of that overview, already we have captured the spirit of what is required. We went further in terms of the expenditure to indicate that there are areas that in relation to expenditure where we give progress that has been achieved and what we'll be doing and some of the synchronization that we are doing with different government institutions. When you go to page 4, you'll see that there are projects that are already in the APP, although they are not written payment-related projects, but these were the projects that are anticipated in the detailed plan for SASA in terms of ensuring that SASA is ready for taking over. One of the first projects was the issue of the biometric solution, which is 2017-2018 and 2018-19 for beneficiaries. This is one of the critical projects. It's already captured within the APP. The second one was the issue of fraud risk and cyber assurance and issues of network connectivity, because the minute you take payment data, your network must be up to standards and the issues of cyber fraud have to be on standard. Although we are proposing to implement this cyber over a period of 2 or 3 years, we had already captured it within the APP. The third element was the issue that was raised by members. Also in the scope, there's been issues of data service integration. We have information for SOCPEN, we have information for biometric, but now we need to integrate and bring the transactional data that is sitting with CPS within the SASA environment so that it can be seated there and we'll be able to manage all the transactions in order for us to be able to take over certain elements. Also, we have also made provision to review the HR plan in order to accommodate the new services that we have required. All these are some of the things that are already captured in the APP. But the new considerations, we do not necessarily have to spell them as they are, but the issue of the things that we propose in, that have financial implications in terms of the court judgment, we will be, currently the court is very clear in terms of beneficiary data and protection of beneficiary data. And in order to deal with that, we have proposed that the issue of Regulation 26A should not be done by the service provider moving into the future. So it should be done within SASSA. That way you don't have things that happen behind your back that you are not aware of. We have already started the process into that, and we're hoping that before the end of December we would have started with the piloting of that. Already we are doing the deductions for staff in terms of the arrangements with National Treasury and Q-Link, and we have explored the opportunity around using that, and we find that it's feasible and it will cost us very little in terms of implementing that. So this is one of the issues that will be, it was captured in our draft operational plan, but it's something that we can elevate already into the APP so that it shows our commitment in terms of protecting beneficiary data. The other element is the issue that currently the money moves from SASSA into CPS account for transacting purposes. So there are, what we are making sure is that the big money should sit in the SASSA account so that reconciliation happens within the SASSA environment. That we want to make pronouncement, whether it happens within SAP or a commercial account or the Reserve Bank, but the account holder should be SASSA so that it allows for proper reconciliation and proper information management to manage those deductions and to be able to have first-hand information in terms of what is happening in terms of ensuring that the court judgment. The phasing in of the new service provider, we have to be specific in the APP in terms of when it will happen, because we need to show commitment to the spirit of the judgment. This was not captured because we were anticipating that we'll be phasing in the new service provider in year two. So we need to have a clear target, but the thinking and the spirit of the judgment was already captured within the APP. Therefore, it does not necessarily say that we were not committed, but it's not clearly spelled out. So we'll be very clear and spell it out that when we are facing it. In terms of our anticipated plan, we are looking at having this somewhere around by December. It should be, the new service provider should be piloting or should be coming in and insourcing. The realistic figure that we have given ourselves is October. However, in order not to put ourselves under pressure, we're saying that we should allow the service provider from December to start phasing in, but we are working towards October. So those dates will be in the APP and clearly spelled out, and with the cost, because as you phase in a new service provider and phase out the other one, there are certain processes that you need to ensure. The other element is the submission of quarterly reports to the Constitutional Court, which is directed in the court judgment. This has cost implications which we did not anticipate. And the major challenge of it is that this decision lies with the court. Even now, it doesn't lie with us. As SASSA, we have made proposals of the name, and other parties in this case have also made proposals. We are not aware which pronouncement the court will take. It may take the names proposed by SASSA, or it may take the names that are proposed by other stakeholders, and therefore the costing becomes a bit of a challenge. But what we are anticipating is that we are working already on the normal consultancy rates per hour, looking at the fact that what are the services that the Constitutional Court, just to allow for estimation of the costing thereof, and we think it should be done in order to allow for the APP to be presented. And if the estimations, the preliminary estimations that we are looking at, if it was within the services that SASSA has already procured, like we had indicated that some of the names that we had proposed was the issue of the CSIR, and we have also proposed the name of the some of the service providers that were on SASSA database. With those already, the rates and the estimations are available, and a contract does exist, a memorandum of agreement does exist with CSIR, and therefore if we, the court was to make a pronouncement based on the names that SASSA has undertaken, that would be catered for within the available resources within SASSA. On the appointment of a system integrator, based on the outcome of the workshop today, whether we appoint SAPO as a system integrator. As a system integrator, it means there'll be a CPS for us and be able to subcontract some of the elements on our behalf where they do not have capacity. Or should we appoint an independent company as a service provider? If that decision is reached, that will also be catered for. It will not be upfront, but it does have an implication to say you have services that you'll have to deal with. The other element is that already we had started with the issue of the alternative pay points, which we are working on, and we will want to be clear in terms that we're looking at piloting the alternative pay points. And then the last element that we are working on, which does not necessarily have to be in the APP, is that we have identified that there are costs that needs to go into National Treasury for bidding in September, and then we need to put a business case for that. So that we're just highlighting it, but it's not something that has to go or be captured within the APP environment. And with that, we are requesting that the portfolio committee allow us a week to go back and redo the costing in terms of the detailed costed plan. But in terms of the APP, we should be, if we are allowed, we should be able to take the revised amendments to EXCO by Monday, and then to be able to table a draft in the early next week, if possible.
Now, what has already been, you are welcome, and your hand is up, but you are hardly 10 minutes here. Let me... No, I didn't invite you. Wait, I'll acknowledge you. Let me apologize honestly and profusely. I also, on behalf of the sect, we apologize, honorable member. We didn't mention that we have a new member, and then the secretary is going to briefly introduce the new member, and we will welcome that member. We didn't do it deliberately, but we are apologizing. Oh, sorry. Please do.
Thank you, Chairperson. In our family, we have just been joined by Dr. Celiwe Mahlope, who is a member of this committee from the African National Congress. Thank you.
You are very welcome, Doctor, but can you rise so that they can all see? You are very welcome. The first impression lasts for longer. Don't keep on thinking why you were not welcome. Thank you so much. Then can I acknowledge there was a hand from Honorable Fanel Merve, Mama Bell, Ma Wilson. Can I stop there and acknowledge immediately after they have put their information? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and my apologies for arriving late, and welcome to our new member. My question is a clarity-seeking question. I've got one problem, and that is that if you look at the legal opinion and we listen to what SASSA just told us, on Thursday we are debating the budget vote, which means by that time we as members have to give consent to an APP, or we have to agree to what we've seen. We cannot, I mean, what I'm basically asking, you've just acknowledged, one of the points you say here is, well, we've anticipated the court ruling by saying the current social grant payment contract comes to an end on 31 March 2017, which obviously it didn't happen. So those points which you've highlighted as points that speak to the court judgment, I don't think it really does speak to the court judgment, because we've been overtaken by events. So I'm asking, you said in your response now that some of the issues that the Cong Court highlighted, which should be reflected in the APP, such as the issues of illegal deductions, issues around the time frames you've mentioned, October, December, phasing in of a new contractor, and then you said you will deal with it early in next week, are we then to assume that you will then be able to come back to us early next week with an updated APP, or did I hear wrong? Because I think, you see, we need to be very specific in terms of time frames. We need to, you know, we need to know whether we'll be able to have a look at a revised APP by Tuesday so that it satisfies us that we've seen an updated document by then, or is that too soon? Because clearly there's an admission from SASSA that there are some things which is not reflected in the current APP which must be there. So I wanted to know, early next week, does that mean Tuesday? Also, Chairperson, I want to just say that there's a concern for me in terms of what's happening with our portfolio committee vis-a-vis SCOPA. I know SCOPA is an important committee, but, you know, it really leaves me uncomfortable that we met with SASSA last week. We had asked questions in terms of how much will the new contract cost, $6 billion. We asked questions in terms of a time frame. Now they go to SCOPA yesterday, and yesterday the information that we were provided with is no longer valid. $6 billion is no longer a number to be considered, and they are now going back to SCOPA in 2 weeks to present them with a plan of action, and we will get it afterwards. And I'm wondering, in terms of our own oversight role, isn't that, you know, I'm expressing a concern because we've been seemingly overtaken by SCOPA. We will now get things after they presented it to SCOPA. We met with them last week. The information that they subsequently went and presented to SCOPA yesterday is not the information that we received. And I'm just pleading, I don't know how we'll address it, but I don't think it's correct for us as the primary oversight committee to learn through a SCOPA meeting that figures, time frames and things have changed. I don't think it's respectful towards us, and I don't think it assists us as members of parliament who are supposed to be holding this this entity to account. I mean, now we will see a time frame being submitted to us after you've gone to SCOPA. Then the question arises, what is it that we are doing as members of parliament on this committee? I'm raising this as a concern because we need to walk this road together. There's only 10 months before they need to be able to insource a new service provider and comply with the Constitutional Court, but it cannot be a situation where we have to find out the correct information via SCOPA.
Yes, one of the ground rules was that we will limit our input because members require to go and prepare and do research for their debate. So I would also continue to urge members to limit their input. I also believe that the legal unit of parliament is also going to say something because it's clearly there's someone who is violating someone's territory in that arrangement, but we'll come back to, because I don't want to confuse the meeting. Can the next member be on the floor?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, I think also most of the questions that I wanted to ask would most probably come after the new APP. When will the bidding process start? And then also, what specific services will the new service providers, not the actual service providers, be rendering in interim? And then also the 95% vacancy rate. Do you have, when you're looking for these people, what will you be looking for? Specific skills so that you don't end up with people not having specific skills, because it sounds like special people with specific skills are needed. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to deal specifically with the APPs because I have a terrible concern over the situation. APPs is an annual performance plan. We need a plan. It is something that somebody must be held accountable for, and it has to have a budget that affects that plan. Now, I've heard in the presenter's presentation now, this is being included in the AMP, this is being included in the APP, this will be included in the APP, and yet we don't have an APP to see. Therefore, how can it be measurable? How do we hold accountable? And how does it affect the budget? If we don't know that, there is no APP, because that's what annual performance plan stands for. And I asked this question earlier of the legal representative. It's one thing to change wording. It's one thing to change wording in an APP, but we're going back to the same three words, measurable, accountable, and the budget that holds those two together. And yesterday, and I'm taking up a little bit of what my colleague said about SCOPA, the minister told us that it was going to take 6 billion rand over 5 years to do this whole takeover of the SOGGONS situation. Now, 6 billion over 5 years is 1.2 billion rand a year. And believe me, regardless of what my colleagues say, budgets are not estimated. They are not estimates of anything. They are figures worked into a certain scenario that comes with certain costs. Without an APP with very, very clear budgets, we cannot present or do a budget speech. Now, our presenter said that this is going to the ExCo on Monday the 22nd. The budget debate is on Thursday the 25th, 3 days later. I don't see at this stage legally how we can present or approve an APP that we have not seen and that will not be completed. That is my concern. Thank you.
I am tempted to respond to to what you are saying because I don't understand it to be actually what the department is saying, but I will allow the members to respond to that. Honourable Solid.
No, Chair, I'm not exactly going to respond to what the Honourable member is saying, but I just want a Chairperson to correct the fact that there is no APP. That statement is not correct. And we always, in this portfolio committee, make statements that are not correct, and are those statements that are going to the media, and we cloud everything. An APP was submitted through the processes of the Speaker, you name the processes of Parliament, but the APP, because of the court ruling, it has to be aligned. We can't say there is no APP. That statement is not correct. That's the first one. The second issue, Chairperson, I'm the one who said budget are estimates, and I'm still saying budget are estimates. Those who know how to do budget are estimates, but notwithstanding that, whatever that is happening in SCOPA, and I do agree with that, Chairperson, that when they make presentation in the committee, then in SCOPA they will make other things that are different, which is not correct. They can always do things. Because concurrently, for example, we sit every week, one would expect that what is going to be presented in SCOPA on Tuesday, it's something that we've already been presented to us a week before. So on that one, Chairperson, I think all of us, we agree that they really need to correct that. But again, perhaps we don't know how also the SCOPA would expect them to present issues. Maybe we limit ourselves on what we have to ask the department to present to us, Chairperson. I don't remember us in the portfolio committee asking some of the issues that are being asked in the scope. We are always emotional, and our emotions, we cloud everything. We ended up not asking what. If you listen how SCOPA does things and you listen how this portfolio committee will deal with things, it's something that I said last week, Chairperson. We come to the committee already highly emotional, bringing some of the things that are not part of what we are doing, and we end up missing the essence of what we are supposed to be doing. Like now, already we are bringing a lot of things that are not part of it, and we miss the essence of what we are supposed to be doing here. When you are listening in SCOPA, you can see that these people are focusing on what is presented to them in that point in time. They are not bringing all the things that they are reading in the media, they are doing whatever. Then we end up, our meetings, Chairperson, every time, we will start with this, but by the time we get to the end, we would have brought all the things, we would have clouded everything that I think we also have ourselves as honorable members to change the way we deal with issues. Let's deal with issues chronologically, and then we'll get the understanding of what is happening. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you for that clarification, because I've said I'm tempted to respond to this one. You know, Honorable Wilson, to nullify what has been legally approved is not going to be correct. Because the budget process went on And these were sent to us to analyze, having gone all the budget processes, which we are not responsible for. Secondly, to ask questions on what has not been presented actually confuses the one who responds. And I would actually say, Honorable Van der Merwe, in terms of law, and the mandate of this COPPA is not to do what we are doing. Their mandate is to deal with matters identified by the Auditor General and are said to be findings that are financially related. But we will listen to the interpretation, because I raised this with the legal unit. Secondly, Honorable Solet, why the department has got a problem is that SCOPA will write them something that come and do this, unlike us, because we are oversighting every step they are taking. So the questions that are being asked, I can agree, I was listening yesterday, are the questions that are directing you to take a particular position. They are very, very much rhetoric. It's not that they want to know. It's only to drive you to say something that you were not going to say. It depends on the question and how protected you are by the chairperson, as I do here. So to say there's no APP, this APP, the very legal opinion says it is not nullified. All we are saying is that court judgment came after the process was gone. And therefore, we want to reroute Operation Opendulum to say now we include, because we are actually accepting it as binding. So this attitude of nullifying makes even us not to be able to operate. How do we say we sit here, we deal with APPs, now somebody says there are no APPs? Can we proceed to the next, Honorable Dr. Mashopa, Masango, because at least she has not spoken, you have spoken. So, yes, you have in this meeting. So I'm going to the next person who has said nothing. I'm giving that preference, and then others will follow. I will acknowledge you, but let me start with the one who has said nothing so far, Honorable Masang. But can you be on the floor? Mama Matlop.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thanks for the presentation. I was made to be comfortable by the legal team there to indicate that Parliament does have the rules to assist the department to do the amendment on the APPs, the existing APPs that is existing. So I think I want to check here and confirm with the department, SASA. You indicated that you were still busy with the detailed costed plans. I want to check, did I understood you very well when you were saying that we cannot get it next week, it will be finalized. And also on the issue of the on page 5, you said submission of quarterly reports to constitutional courts. You have not get a response from the court on the names that you submitted. What I want to inquire, when the court pronounced the judgment, they indicated that within 14 days they will pronounce on what is going to take place. Can't you make a follow-up, because I think 14 days has gone past. Is there anything that prevents you to make a follow-up in the court, because the court pronounced 14 days which has gone past? And also the issue of the time frames, I think maybe when you come next week, it will be concrete to say, to allow us to make an oversight on what you presented, the specific timeline. Also on page 3, on the CEO's overview paragraph, you said the changes and this age will require capacity. What is the meaning of that? Does it mean that on the ruling of the court and the work that you're going to do, you don't have a capacity, because you have to explain to us to say you don't have capacity. I saw that there are vacant posts that you have indicated. Does it talk to that one? And also, how does it impact on your work, especially on the one to comply with the court judgment, this capacity that will be required? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks for the presentation. My two questions are questions of clarity on the timeline that was outlined earlier by Ms. Rapahlo. The first one is the early next week proposal that was presented to us. I would like to know if that is going to be when the revised or aligned APP be available in the meeting with us, or will there be an opportunity of it having been worked on to then avail it to us in advance? I guess the question I'm asking is early next week the first time we could have access to this, or is there an opportunity for a draft before that, so that we at least would have engaged the document to ensure that we facilitate the processes to be aligned to the fact that we need to do a budget vote debate on Thursday? That's the first one, Chair. It's just a timeline issue. And then the second issue it refers to the information that is given on page, the HR plan reviewed on page 4. Last week, the minister, when we met with her last week, and I'm asking this because it then has a bigger influence or impact on what we could be expecting in terms of the alignment to the APP and thereafter the budget vote inputs that we would need to give. The minister gave a long list of the skills that do not reside within SASSA, and said that this is the reason why there needs to be more HR people coming in. And my question is that we've always agreed, even last week, we agreed that the work that is done by SASSA for the institutionalization of the grant payment system is not brand new. The Constitutional Court came with maybe the shortening of the timelines that we had because of what was supposed to have happened on the 1st of April. Now I'm saying, why then do we have this long list of people that have worked in SASSA all this time that do not have the skills? Because she said the people in SASSA do not have those skills, but SASSA is there to pay grants, and pay grants in the manner that the grants have been paid all this time. So I was wondering if when the minister was giving this whole list, was it after some kind of a skills audit that was done in preparation for the alignment to the Constitutional Court, or in preparation for the already being worked on institutionalization of the grant payment system? I'm asking that, Chair, because if all those skills that the minister was giving a list of are not in SASSA, so what skills are in SASSA? I don't know. This is the question that has just been sort of worrying me.
But I can also remind the member, as they were presenting, they were able to talk about insourcing such skills. Because at no stage had SASSA in its form been able to pay grants. Remember, we started by some other service providers. I don't know whether they had names. And then it was later that this one, there was a fight about the tender. Otherwise, it has been outsourced all the time because SASSA was going to be transformed. But I also want
because the media, Mama Soled, you are correct. The media will always distort what is being said in this meeting. Because I'm clear that the minister did not say the court judgment issue will take 5 years. She said beyond this 1 year, there's a need to perfect, to professionalize. A period of 5 years might be required, including a budget estimate. Not that the minister came to this committee and said, we've costed it. That's why we said, go and cost it. Because no one said to us, we have costed it. It's going to take 5 years. It's going to give us 5 years. You will come later. But I think the issues, this question, you might ask for clarity or for it to be repeated. Because the minister went on, and they also went on to say, there have never been bankers. So they need banking systems. Three, they also said they have never been able to pay their clients, to pay their clients. So they need some skill in payment. SASSA has never been in a position to do the payout themselves. There was the issue of software and also the information systems. So I think that one needs to be corrected. Can Mama Mkhosi allow these two hands that were there before I acknowledge, and then I come to you. Mama Wilson, as well as Mama Yuste, I had said I'll come to you. Then Mama Mkhosi, I'll come back to you. Okay. Oh, no, complete my bill. Honorable Mabilo. Okay, sure. You are on the floor.
Honourable Chair. Now, I was just wondering, I mean, I don't know if it's possible, but in terms of buying us all a bit of time, is it not possible to ask the Speaker if we can just have our budget debate a couple of days later? Or is that not something that's done? I'm just wondering.
That will come when we deal with recommendations. We're still interrogating. We know your concern and what are the possibilities. Then we'll come back.
I just wanted to actually, everyone's talking about emotions getting involved here. I was really uninvolved.
Sorry, Honourable Member, yeah. I've not acknowledged you.
You didn't call my name, Che.
Sorry, that's why I'm saying sorry. I made a mistake. I'm actually acknowledging this hand that was there after Honourable Houston. And then it was going to be Honourable Mkhosi, as well as Soledi and Honourable Mabilo. In those hands were up, but I made a mistake. Maybe I always acknowledge you most of the time, so your name is my lips. Sorry about that.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Chairperson, before I ask my question, I was happy that you and the Honourable Member raised the concern about clouding issues. Because last week I was worried, because issues were so clouded that no one was thinking straight. You know, when it comes to the APP, that there were problems with the APP. Everyone was worried about other things. So one member spoke to the APP to say there is something wrong. Then everyone looked at it. My concern is on page 4, new considerations in the current financial year. In sourcing of regulation 26A, you know that our department is speaking to when it comes to the beneficiary data. But I have a concern. What is going to happen? Because the department is going to do their own database too. But what is going to happen to the database that is with CPS? Because when you look at 6.1 of the court ruling, the terms, they speak to the protection of that database. Even in 6.1A and B,
they speak to that protection. So we have to be very clear what is going to happen to that database. And I'm not going to cloud the issue that was clouded earlier on by speaking about another court ruling. Thank you.
The chairperson, my question was going towards the Honorable Asango. I'm just saying, after the court ruling, obviously we know that SASSA is going to go under organizational structure, and SASSA is going to go under change management, its entire organization. So it's not for us now to question issues of HR plans and whatever. Obviously they're going to change, because SASSA is going to insource, not outsource. The issue of expertise, the issue of new employment, it's going to be there. This organizational structure is going to change. It's like us now, we can't ask SASSA that, can you please cost your organizational structure? How will you know that? Because SASSA is going on a new phase after the court ruling. So other things, it's not for us to ask, because the court has came with a judge. We need just to support and allow SASSA to go forward. It was not a question, just a subject on the end.
Honorable Member, Mama Toledi, I'm coming to you, Honorable, to add on what Honorable Mohotsi is saying, Chairperson. The court ruling has just been a month ago or 3 weeks ago. Can you help me with that? Some of the things, like your HR plan review, I don't know. Some of us, before we came to Parliament, we've been working in different spheres of life, whether public or government. And HR review is not something that you slip into today and then tomorrow you submit it and you say you have reviewed it. Let's be realistic when we are dealing with the matters, Honourable Members. Let's just be realistic ourselves. That is going to assist us in doing the oversight. Yes, the department should outline to us that at least on this time, by this period, we are anticipating that we would have reviewed the HR plan. You can't review it in a week. It's a process. Let's be realistic. That process is going to assist us in terms of doing our oversight work. That's why I'm saying we always cloud issues and we miss the most important issues that we need to deal with. For example, now they submitted last week that by the 17th of June, the first report should have been submitted. And we really need to look at that now. Our eyes should focus on that. What is contained in the report that they presented last week, that these are the issues that are supposed to be submitted on the 17th to the court. We should be doing oversight on those issues to make sure that they submit them. To make sure that on the 17th, SASSA does not miss the deadline, because that is very important. And that is what we have not been coming so much in doing for the past 3 years that we have been here. Now an opportunity is here for us, but what do? We bring all these other issues, other than focusing to the issue that is on the table. It's like we want SASSA to fail on this matter. And if SASSA fails, it's all of us that have failed. Court has said that, where is the Parliament in terms of this thing? So when they fail in not adhering to what the court needs, in other ways we would have failed. Can't we really, Honourable Members, concentrate on what has been presented to us and provide oversight on what the Department has said is going to do in this period and make sure that the 17th of July, sorry, of June, then everything is in order. That's the first point, Chairperson. The other issue, Chair, although my question on legally, I will come back to them again, Chairperson, because I think we are also clouding this issue of an APP and everything. I think even it's lacking here on the presentation, because once we say there is no APP, then one would assume that the APP has been withdrawn, but I don't see anything that says that APP that has been submitted should be withdrawn. But what I understand is the APP is still with the speaker, but the alignment, I think with the little experience that I'm having as a legislator for the past 10 years, is an inertia on an APP is what is supposed to be submitted to the speaker. I'm speaking under correction. The legal people will have to assist us in that regard. Because in my understanding, it's not like the entire APP is wrong. It's what needs to be aligned in a certain program as per what the court has said. So I just want them to clarify to us and also to clarify to me what I'm saying, because in my understanding, Chair, there's always going to be, I don't know whether they call it an inertia or an addendum or whatever term that they call, on top of what has been submitted to the speaker, but not to say the entire document is not in existence. Can we, maybe, Chairperson, we need to be clarified on that, because that's one point that is missing. That's one point that makes everybody to kuba omnye nomnye ahambe ayentshonalanga omnye aye west omnye ayephi asithe sifumane ncam. What is the current status now in terms of what is happening? Now let's talk law and not talk hearsay. Let's talk law, Chair.
Honorable Soledi, it has been presented in this meeting that we are dealing with the legal opinion guiding us how to do what you are saying. We are saying the APPs are right. They have been submitted. They are exclusive of activities that relate to court ruling compliance. And yes, now this document guides us as if you want to amend, this is the opinion you use. And there are laws that have been outlined in the same document and the rules of parliament, how that can be done. But what we are talking about now is to how best can we do this within the period where we're supposed to go and debate. The other issues of it is not there. This document, the legal opinion, states very well if they are in good faith, they have been processed properly and legally, but now this committee, portfolio committee, want to embrace court judgment. And then how do we make an addendum, as you say, and attach all those things? But also the rules are actually guiding us, I mean parliamentary rules. So I think there is a problem of thinking that members of parliament can say anything, even if they talk outside what is being debated, because they are honorable members. Ntate Mabilo?
No, thanks, Chair. Just a few questions and comments. I think first and foremost, we must be able to say that SASSA is no longer a baby. SASSA is no longer crawling. We have just celebrated 10 years, which for me is fundamental. That's the first thing. Secondly, is that your core mandate is to ensure that there's grant administration responsibilities and payment. So therefore, my key concern will be about the timeframes. I know some of my colleagues have raised the question of timelines, timeframes. On page 4 there, in terms of your new consideration, I think in terms of the two issues there, opening of a SASSA holding account and facing in an e-new service provider and facing out CPS. For me, I understand it's a little bit broad, it's a little bit open-ended. So if it is possible through you to give us that tangible dates or times that these things will be realized, that's the first thing that I wanted to raise. And secondly, you have indicated, presenter, that you might not be able to complete within the period of 12 months. I'm inquisitive to know what would you attribute that to? What are the contextual factors? What are the subjective factors? What are the objective factors materially as envisaged? Because my own understanding is that we've got to work round the clock to ensure that we meet all our obligations as far as the court judgment is concerned. I agree with my colleagues that the process should be systematic, it must be coherent, but there must be integrity as you face in and you face out. For me, it will be a problem if there's a possibility that you might not be able to realize what you intended to do. Because if you plan to fail, you will fail. You can't plan in advance to say, I will not be able to. So, Chair, broadly, those will be the issues that we want to raise in relation to what is before us now. Thanks.
Now, can I allow them to respond? I'll take other hands at a later stage. But can I also allow the team to respond to those issues that affect your own presentation and also to get a clear interpretation of the role of the portfolio committee as well as the scope on legal terms, because maybe this is also clouding things. And I also would want the department to be clear of this thing of 5 years and 6 billion, whether this is what they are doing. And also to be clear to say we target 1 year. It is not an option. It is that we're phasing out. We must be sure we meet the deadline. If that is what you're going to do, please say in this meeting so that those who are actually feeding the media are able to feed them by the right diet and the menu.
Okay, Chairperson, I'm just going to clarify the first, the one that you've issued. Honorable Mabilo, I think maybe you misunderstood me. What I said was that CPS will be phased out within the 12-month period, and we are envisaging to start the piloting by December. However, in our work, we are working around the clock so that we start the phasing out in October. But in terms of the last month would be December in terms of doing that. What I said we are not ready is to take over as SASSA ourselves, and therefore we'll go for the interim approach. And the interim approach is appointing somebody in the interim to help us in the years that we are, once we have phased out CPS, while we are getting ourselves ready for full takeover. The issue of full takeover, Chairperson, is quite, should be looked at it, we need to look at it within the broader context. When we first came and said we are taking over, there have been a number of events that have taken place. There have been budget cuts. There have been shifts and cost decisions over time that normally take us to review our direction. So while we are looking at the long-term target to say our ultimate aim is to take over, time and again, we have to adjust our ambitions to ensure that whatever that needs to be developed inside, your recruitment, you don't have sufficient money to recruit all, like the simple expertise, it's not even a new expertise, but the simple people who sit in enrollment offices, which are CTS staff currently, they are plus minus, is it 3,000, if I'm not mistaken? There are people who are sitting in SASSA local offices. We have 416 local offices. On average, you have 2 CPS staff in each of those offices who are doing enrollment. To take, it's a simple process that do not necessarily need that kind of expertise, but you need a budget to take them over. And currently, our compensation of employee budget has been cut. So whatever you do, you are forced to
faith in as much as you know what is the ultimate where you want to go in. You need to invest in the back-end technology, but you also have to comply with the technology that aligns to the Reserve Bank and to the payment environment. Because when you move money, the passage of money, there's other kindness, whatever, nobody will allow to interact with you if your technologies are not properly aligned. Therefore, those investments are required. So I just wanted to clarify that fact. So
there is something you must include, which continues to say you want to continue with CPS or something like that, and also the radical economic transformation. How is the post office going to be able to accommodate other people and not operate as CPS? These things we must ask so that those people who are representing the media here must be able to give it what we have said in the meeting, not what they thought or heard. You always hear what
CPS will be out in 12 months, Chairperson. Then the next one was the issue that the presentation we made to SCOPA. What we presented here is what we took to SCOPA. The other elements came through the questioning. We were very cautious that we don't want to be going around presenting different reports. So the other issues came through questioning, and it was more on the probing side. But the presentation that we made was the same one that was made here. And we've been consistent, we're trying to be consistent, and we do acknowledge that the first committee that we report to is this committee. But when SCOPA calls us, we cannot refuse and say we cannot come. But what we have to ensure is consistency. Sometimes there may be seen to be misalignment, but the 6 billion did not come in the content of the presentation in this committee and also in SCOPA, because we had requested, can you allow us to do proper costing so that we can bring it once we have refined it. But through questioning, the minister did indicate that those are estimates that are already emerging from the documents that we have. But we have the responsibility to go back to say, what is reasonable that we can afford within the coffers that we have, should Treasury not allow us or allow us to do that. So we will come up with a proper finalized amount, but the 6 billion was what was the thinking around. If you go over 5 years and you invest in cybersecurity, the staffing and whatever over the next 5 years, this is the preliminary figure that the minister was trying to bring in. But SASA will bring a revised and a detailed plan with the cost. The other thing that we are even suggesting is that if maybe before we go to the Constitutional Court, if we could have a proper workshop with the committee members, maybe even if they invest the select committee, so that at least we take this committee as our mother or our body, so that we can all have a proper understanding, we can be guided if we are going wrong, so that even if it's a full day, we can deal with that, so that when we table, it's something that we are all buying into and we understand and we support it. But I think the CEO will make such a request, formal request, but we have considered that as the department.
Actually put us on board on what is presented in what you are going to submit and ask questions so that when you submit, we know what we're going to submit. Then I can, if you are true.
I just wanted to deal with the issue of the tabling. From our side, we can work 24 hours overnight to do the part, but there's the formal process that happens within the cabinet process that we are not, we still have to clarify the days, how many days it looks. But we are committed to go and work, and by Friday to have made the changes that are required. You'll not have a draft with glossy printed, but you can have a draft to work around in terms of the discussion. But we still have to engage with the legal processes to guide us on the internal parliament processes in terms of putting, if it's an addendum, it's easy, but if we have to withdraw, they will have to guide us on the number of days that are required in the process there. The issue of the HR plan. The HR plan, we are revising to incorporate the required skills, but revising does not necessarily mean you implement it in 1 year. You have a plan that tells you what are the skills that you require, how much they will cost you, so that you can envisage over how many years you can phase it in, because to be honest, we don't have that sufficient money to get everyone in, whether it's basic skills or it's the expert skills that we may require. But one thing for sure is that every time, what the approach that we take, if we need issue of cyber security, instead of having somebody inside currently doing cyber security, when you are not even doing the proper transfer, it means you are paying for services that you are not utilizing on daily services. So sometimes you can go and procure the service until such time when you start transferring money, then you can bring the person full time into that. So the HR plan will clarify those kind of elements. We do have somebody already that we have appointed to deal with information security inside SASA, but you have to also look at the security in terms of what are the requirements from the Reserve Bank to ensure that all those are met into the process.
And don't forget, is this data for sale or is it yours, and how is it being protected?
Okay. Chairperson, on the data, we wrote a letter to CPS. I actually have a letter here we can even send to the committee, where they have confirmed what we have requested from them to say. The court has pronounced on this issue of data, and the clauses that you may remember, there was during the court process somehow a paper emerged around the court, some of the things that they said they made the beneficiary to sign. Although the beneficiary don't sign, it's small letters inside that biometric machine that were captured in. So now they have sent a letter to confirm that they have also asked CPS to your green rod not to allow, to remove those clauses that allowed beneficiaries to allow them to utilize the information. There's always been a dispute between SASA and CPS in terms of, they would argue that at CPS they don't have any information that they capture. But what Green Road captures as a banking institution, they have no control. But now, we think within the letter and the commitment that they've made, we should be able to monitor them. They've also sent a report from KPMG that says they have audited, which we still have to follow up and ensure that it's true that they are not doing that. But the information in terms of the transaction data, that information, all the information relating to payment that was given to CPS, as it captured in the contract of 2012, it belongs to SASA, and we have to capture it and store it within SASA. So already we have the biometric, the SOCPEN data on payment files that we send every day. What we have not yet captured within our database was the transactional data, because we were busy procuring additional servers so that we can be able to host all the information.
Just before we go to the other item, can you assist the committee by clarifying some issues? I might not have the best way of asking this question about the work streams that relate to, were there work streams? Did they do any work? Were they paid? So that when we leave here, we are actually talking what the horse told us. From going to the horse now, not necessarily other information. They let them finish that question.
I'm just questioning about where we're going, Chairperson. We started this whole meeting about a legal opinion, and now we've gone right off the track and off the agenda. We're now on to work streams. I think it's very critical that before we even continue, we get the legal opinion about where we stand.
We've gone through the legal thing. We all accepted it. It is ours. We accept it. Even if you don't accept it, but we will come and clarify. Because this meeting is not about the legal only. It's about work of SASA.
Now, I understand that, Chair. What was the legal opinion? We were asked to ask questions for clarity to the legal team, and we haven't got those answers.
The member must respect the chair. She cannot just interject. We are in a formal portfolio committee. You'll afford her the opportunity to speak, but she cannot just interject and have a dialogue. That is the order that I'm calling the chair. Thanks.
The main thing is these matters that we want clarity about. It's about what is being said, we said in the committee, in the newspapers. So people must get it from the horse's mouth that if there were working work streams, work streams are part of this report of SASA, are part of the ATPs. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Let me deal with the issues of the work streams. When the work streams were appointed, they were actually to assist SASA with the insourcing, which is a long-term plan of SASA. The work currently done by the work streams will affect SASA in two ways. They are part of what the work stream have presented, which they've documented, which will impact on how we deal with the current situation, which is the trust month now. But there will be work that informs SASA in making decisions in relation to the approach in terms of the insourcing. These are two separate matters that we're dealing with, which is the immediate 12 months, which has to do with the taking over or finding an interim solution to pay, which is the outlook of 2018. And the other part is what will happen in terms of the insourcing. I can give an example, like the work streams will make proposals in terms of how you can deal with the cyber risks. That's what they're going to do. But because we have not taken over the payment, those recommendations and the work that is done by this will not be immediately implemented, but it influences how you make resolutions and decisions in terms of how do you approach that space. So the reports that we have are the reports that we're currently engaging with the work streams to understand them. Because there are people who understand that when the work streams are there, then the work of the work stream must be implemented in 1 year or in a few months. The work of the work streams inform the strategy of SASA in dealing with aspects. So the work that we've paid for is the work that the work streams have done, where the deliverables are available within SASA, which currently the executive of SASA are considering it. So the outcome of such a report is going to be implemented not necessarily in 1 year. It will be in a couple of years in relation to shaping that work. So I need the committee to understand that the work of the work stream was never confined actually in taking actually SASA in 2018. It goes beyond that. And the recommendations and the work and the research that they have done and the information that we have informs actual SASA how to approach certain things, like I've been given an indication in relation to that. What we have already indicated that, yes, with the work streams, we have already had an engagement with National Treasury, and Treasury did give us a feedback to say that the appointment process of the work stream is found to be irregular. What we have done, we're considering the letter from National Treasury to engage on aspects of that letter now to clarify how we're going to deal with it. If indeed it is pronounced, then the CEO will take a decision in consultation with the minister in terms of the future of the work streams. But the work that the work streams will have done is a valuable information that is at the position of SASA, which will be utilized in implementing the elements in relation to the work of the work stream. So I think the committee need to understand the context in that way to say the work of the work streams, we do have deliverables. Part of what we have done was the deliverables and the reports themselves that have been currently being considered. And we have had, even last week, engagement with the work stream just to refine the work in relation to say how does it influence the daily operations and the future of SASA, including actually the HR processes that we're dealing with it, because then we need to understand whether if you deal with the cyber risks, will you going to be able to have what kind of skill set that you're going to require, what systems you will have to really put in place actually to be able to deal with that, what is the prevailing things that are happening in the country, in international arena, and what issues that you need to really look into, and what budgetary requirements will you be able to need in that regard. And these are the issues that technically SASA need the work streams actually to be assisted in making decisions. But the decisions and the implementation rest with the SASA executives.
What we are actually dealing with here is SASA progress report. All these matters are within this SASA progress report. report to the portfolio committee. So can I allow the legal unit to assist and clarify some of these issues?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I just want to first speak to the opinion to the extent that it addresses the validity of the APP. In paragraph 16 of the opinion, we say it was referred to the committee by the speaker. And the reason that is being discussed is because the committee is unable to process it due to, which has now been established as fact by SASA, to some issues that are not reflected in the APP, which subsequently came after the APP was submitted through the judgment of the Constitutional Court. SASA has given a commitment firstly has pointed out those inconsistencies, that these are the issues that are not reflected in the APP as it exists. And they further go on to give a commitment to say they'll work 24 hours to make sure that they update the APP to reflect those things. And therefore, from that we would take the undisputed fact that the APP as it currently stands lacks some alignment in relation to the details that SASA has already given the committee. So that issue is clarified. So whether the process of how that is going to be done, meaning the process of aligning the APP, is a process set out in the rules. And it is not the first time that a department is required to update through an intervening event, is required to update its APP to align it. And therefore that process is set out in the rules, and we'll be more than happy to assist with pointing out in the rules specifically how that process gets to be done. So that's the issue relating to the APP, Chair. And just the point that since the 17th of March, which is almost 2 months ago, the decision of the Constitutional Court was given, there has been this invalidity. And therefore, SASA needs to work around the clock, as they've correctly considered, to try and align their processes, including the APP, to the Constitutional Court decision. So it's not an issue of choosing when to and so on. It must be immediate and without undue delay. Regarding the issue of the work of the committee as opposed to that of SCOPA, Chair, I just want to say that constitutionally, the concept of committees in the assembly is that the committees are an extension of the assembly. So this is all committees, including SCOPA. And the rules, which are also done in terms of, are made in terms of Section 57 of the Constitution, set out how each of the committees or how portfolio committees work, as well as how the Standing Committee on Public Accounts works. So in order to answer that question, Chair, I will read exactly what the rules say, the functions of SCOPA as opposed to that of the portfolio committee, and hope that it will clarify your question, Chair. Firstly, 225 established the portfolio committees, and 227 speaks to the functions of the committees. It says, a portfolio committee, A, must deal with bills and other matters falling within its portfolio, as are referred to it in terms of the Constitution, legislation, these rules, the joint rules, or by resolution of the Assembly. B, must maintain oversight, 1, of the exercise within its portfolio of national executive authority, including implementation of legislation. Any executive organ or state falling within its portfolio, any constitutional institution falling within its portfolio, and any other body or institution in respect of which oversight was assigned to it. The portfolio committee may monitor, investigate, inquire into, and make recommendations concerning any such executive organ of state, constitutional institution, or other body or institution, including the legislative program, budget, rationalization, restructuring, functioning, organization, structure, staff and policies of organ or state, institution, or other body or institution. Committee may consult and liaise with any executive organ or state or constitutional institution and must perform any other functions, tasks and duties assigned to in terms of the Constitution, legislation, these rules, the joint rules or resolution of the Assembly, including functions, tasks and duties concerning parliamentary oversight or supervision of such executive organs of state, constitutional institutions or other bodies or institutions. In effect, Chair, because the question relates to oversight, the portfolio committee exercises direct oversight over the work of the department. implementation of the legislation as well as policy. On the other hand, the Standing Committee on Public Accounts is established by 243 of the National Assembly Rules, and it functions in 245 as follows. The SCOPA must consider, one, the financial statements of all executive organs of state and constitutional institutions or other public bodies when those statements are submitted to Parliament. Two, any audit reports issued on these statements. Three, any reports issued by the Auditor General on the affairs of any executive organ of state, constitutional institutions, or other public bodies. Four, any reports reviewing expenditure of public funds by any executive organ of state and constitutional institution or other public body, and any other financial statements or reports referred to the committee in terms of these rules. It may report on any of these financial statements on reports to the Assembly. It may initiate any investigation in its area of competence and must perform any other functions, tasks, or duties assigned to it in terms of the Constitution, legislation, these rules, the joint rules or resolutions of the Assembly, including functions, tasks, and duties concerning parliamentary financial oversight or supervision of the executive organs of state, constitutional institutions, or other public bodies. Lastly, it says the Speaker must refer financial statements and reports mentioned in the above paragraphs to the SCOPA when they are submitted to Parliament, irrespective of whether they are also referred to another committee. That, in a nutshell, Chair, is what the functions of the SCOPA and as opposed to the portfolio committees, as set out in the rules.
You have assisted even the department to know where to report and what. But, Honourable Solet, you have got a hand?
Chair, I didn't hear so much about us on the issues of the financials at the portfolio committee now. From the rules there. Because I'm asking that question because basically, Chairperson, we seem to be encroaching in each other's territory here. Sometimes ourselves, we encroach on the SCOPA territory and we pride ourselves that I know the budget.
I will not forget that you are a student. You are also learning.
Honourable Member, you were asking to the extent that it refers to financial statements. Okay.
Yes, on our side is the portfolio committee. Because remember, you just said that the SCOPA, in my understanding, basically they deal more with the financial matters. Because all those matters that, whether they are coming from Auditor General, obviously they are going to be the financial matters, the emphasis and everything based on that. Then on us, as a portfolio committee, I do understand the oversight. But I want us, I didn't hear if it's there that specifically says that us as a portfolio committee now, when we were, how on the issues of the financial, how do we deal with them as per the rules? Because like I said, sometimes we encroach on each other's territory. We end up doing SCOPA's work. SCOPA, apparently these days, they really do what is supposed to be done by us.
Thank you, Chair. I can only speak to what the rules provide. The extent to which members see an overlap and contradiction in the work of committees, I'm not at liberty to speak to. I would speak to what exactly the rules say. And just make a comment that there wouldn't be effective oversight of what the work of the executive does if there was no view of how the budget is spent by the department in its implementation program. So as I understand the work of the committee, it oversees all of the work of the department, including the financial implications of how it does its work. And that would speak to the financials. In the rules itself, it says the committee must maintain oversight of the exercise within its portfolio of national executive authority, including implementation of legislation. It also says that it must perform any other functions, tasks, or duties assigned in terms of the Constitution, legislation, the rules, and the joint rules, including functions and duties concerning parliamentary oversight or supervision of such organs of state, executive organs of state, constitutional institutions, or other bodies of the state. In my view, I think that is broad enough to include the to include the financial implications. And C, my colleague has just pointed out, it says that the committee may monitor, investigate, inquire into, and make recommendations concerning any executive organ of state, constitutional institution or body relating to the legislative program, budget, rationalization, restructuring, functioning, organizational structure, staff and policies, etc. Thank you, Chair.
Which, therefore, when there's that recommendation, if there are matters that need to be properly investigated of financial misuse, we can refer to the SCOPA to do that aspect because their capacity is financially related. We can ask questions and do everything, but to actually come to a point that says you must go to court, you've stolen, I think it goes to us recommending to a body task to do that. Honorable Masek.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Now, also in the mandate of the committee, there is an indication that the committee can deal with the financial in accordance to the budget and so on. And also, my understanding is that the SCOPA, they deal with the post-mortem. After everything has been done, as we have indicated, that after the audit outcome, they look at it and follow. But there is an appropriation, standing committee on appropriations that follows the money. You know, that follows the money, not after. Now, when the budget is there, they can call any committee to check, any department to check whether the money is being spent in accordance with the predetermined objective. I think that's why the committee does have those powers, because the SCOPA talks to the audit outcome most of the time. Audit outcome, that is post-mortem, after everything has gone west. You know, they follow that one, you know, waste and so on. But the appropriations, they follow the money. If they see that, no, there is under expenditure, they can call you. It's within their working with the portfolio committee together. But SCOPA, I think, really, we are encroaching to each other's role, as the colleague has been indicated. We need to be clarified at a later stage.
Honorable Lee. Chairperson, thank you very much. I think that was the point. The point was that all I was saying initially was that, and the Honourable Member is quite right, SCOPA does further investigation into, for example, irregular expenditure. So the initial point that I was driving at was that we as a committee and SASA must be more open with each other in terms of operational plans, time frames. It shouldn't be going to SCOPA because SCOPA deals with financials, afterwards and probes deeply into issues such as irregular expenditure or fruitless and wasteful expenditure. So I was simply saying that if we meet with one another, we want to be taken on board first in terms of operational issues, time frames, compliance with the Constitutional Court, because that is fundamentally in our mandate. So that was the point that I was raising. So I completely agree that You see, I understand that those issues came out in discussions with SCOPA, so that was not my problem. Of course, if you are asked questions, you must answer. I was simply pleading for us to be on board with them first before other issues.
You don't know when you have friends. We actually went this route because we wanted your question to be properly and legally answered. You didn't say anything wrong, but you raised to. So what you raised as your concern, we said it must be explained legally, which now has assisted you. So we are on your side this time, assisting you to get what you wanted to know. I think we have all the clarities, but can we have 3 minutes break so that before we close, I mean, we are able to pick everything and someone will say, my question wasn't answered. But we must say things that we have gone through, just to summarize, to be able to say, this is what the committee said. Can we, Sipara Menji, yeah.
I needed to get clarity in terms of the legal advice. Are we saying, because you said the court judgment, okay, the court judgment was two months ago, and you said they needed to bring in the APP in line immediately, sort of immediately before, you know, because now the concern is the amendments will now happen
while we are going to our budget vote on Thursday, now I'm looking at the program, and I want to ask the legal advisor, I'm looking at the program, the main appropriations bill will be debated on the 8th of June. Would it be advisable for us to try and seek a later date to debate our budget vote before the final appropriations bill, or is that not something that could legally and through the rules happen?
I think that belongs to Parliament.
Yeah.
So the members of portfolio committee are must seek this advice from the Speaker's office to say we present this as a challenge. We have dealt with as a portfolio committee. Then we, in your own arrangement as Parliament, what is it that is working in terms of law complying with submission issues which are in your court? Then we will be able to say, the Speaker says, bring an addendum, go to, there's no time, there's time, but that one I think is within the premises of the structure that deals with the submissions of the legal process. Do you want to say anything?
Thank you very much, Abisin. In terms of the committee processes, when the APPs have been referred by the Speaker for committee consideration, there must be some engagements with the department, and then thereafter the committee must develop or compile a report that must be adopted to the committee by the committee, and then that's the report that will be debated. There is no way that we can schedule a debate without a committee being able to interrogate and then have a report and adopt such report. Thank you very much. I just wanted to clarify that.
This is a way forward, but what we are stuck at is how do we make amendments now that the amendment is outside and the APPs are inside. How do we bring these together so that we don't make flaws in so far as submission processes to the Speaker are being done? So that's what we will clarify ourselves as to. We will go and inquire how to do that. Otherwise, the advice is clear, and your advice is clear. It says to us, the key problem is how to interrogate them, as you say, because we want them to be aligned, and what report comes is inclusive of all programs that will take place. Then we will have a right to oversight that. But if the other one is out, how do you oversight? Because they will say, we use this money for something that was not in the APP. That's where we are stuck. But I really would wish members to stretch their legs so that our others are sitting in other committees and are ready to debate tomorrow. So we will have to limit the time. But I think there's a tendency when we have had a meeting, people thinking we said something that we didn't say. But at least let's have a concrete thing of what we have said. Thank you.
Yeah.
court of law.
back. Thank you very much. Some specific issues about today is the fact that we intended to deal with SASSA progress report, and we had agreed that this must be a weekly standing item. It doesn't mean it will all be the only item, but what is worrying and is a concern is the fact that other members have other committees where they operate, and they also have to debate in those committees. It is upon that I think we should stop at this stage. What were we doing? We were dealing with SASSA progress report. But you can't deal with it in isolation and leaving the issues like how to manage the court judgment and also how to be compliant to openly accept the binding principles of what has been decided by court, and also to know what work the department has already done so far to convince us that come the time for reporting to court, they will be able to have done what they are supposed in that time frame. So that's what we were dealing with. At the same time, what we had to deal with is the importance of legally responding in terms of the current APPs that were procedurally and legally submitted to the budget process and end in our hands as we sit here. But as we look at them, we begin to say, by the way, they can't contain elements of the response to court judgment, because by then there was no court judgment. This does not mean our APPs are wrong in any way. Or there's a gap, that there's information that really needs to be amended or realigned. What does the department say to us today? They say the court came and intervened during a process of doing exactly what we're supposed to do and came with additional requirements, because when they set out a tender, it was because they wanted a legally approved entity to do the work. Then there was dissatisfaction among competitors. Then the court ruled and gave us what we have today. So for us to go forward is to ensure that any addition that is not covered in the APPs must be an amendment, must be aligned, both in plan, strategy, and implementation. We have got that, because they say to us, as I listen here, yes, we have done some work. In that budget, in that program, this can still be effected without additional funds. We have already said, go therefore and cost it. They have said, some work has been done. It's a first draft. We have only been able to do ABC. Give us a chance so that we go back, interrogate these APPs to ensure that what we are saying is really true. Give us the last time to do the costing and bring it back to you. Now, what is the challenge? The challenge is the time frame that we have to debate. So, Honorable Yuste also said, can't we find a way to the speaker to find, because you are a custodian of submissions, how can you assist so that you are able to proceed? So that is a parliamentary process, I said, that we need to take that route as the portfolio committee, to go back to say, in situations where there is another activity that included matters that were not in the strategy of a committee. How do you respond to that? How is it normally done based on the parliamentary rules? So this process is going to be taken to a letter is going to be written to Speaker to do exactly that, so that we are fully informed, but would never do that without having received a legal interpretation of an opinion which we have dealt with. This opinion is welcomed by the department. They have not put any amendment. They have not said it's not talking to them. They say all we can do is to try and comply according to this opinion. The last thing is, therefore, we adjourn with the understanding that the department wants to work around the corner or clock to ensure that they meet a particular deadline. But it's not guaranteed that it will happen before we debate. That's the reason we are left with an option to go to the Speaker's office and say, as the custodian, how do you deal with information that is not in, is not provided for in the APPs? Then they are going to give us an answer. Then we'll come back to the committee and be able to work. It will also be through correspondence that will be taught, because we will not wait until there's a portfolio committee. One option, once referred to by Honorable Soledi, was if there are constraints, there are many days, the portfolio committee can be given an option to sit 2 days. If that has been brought to the programming, that this committee is behind schedule due to this. Therefore, let's have a sitting of 2 days. Many have seen agriculture and others. They were sitting full day, times 3 days, full day up to five. So I think we can also make that appeal that add time, add parliamentary time to the committee to finish the work, because it is not our own making. And these are the matters that we have actually resolved, and we have in depth dealt with. Can I therefore put that, though there is going to be a report, this is summarily what we were dealing with. Not unless the secretary feels there are some things that are left out. And also I want to point out that we have researchers. Researchers are paid to research. So they are in this meeting, and we have a right to give them a space to give us information. I'm not saying now. I'm saying traditionally and normally. Their duties, that's why they sit here, is also to say in the research can tell you ABC. We also have the content advisor. The content advisor continues to listen carefully to what content are we talking to, and can always assist in saying to the committee, but I hear that you are saying this. So when that time comes, it should not be a surprise when we say, researcher, you have researched on this topic. You were given this topic. Give us trends. We have got the legal unit. We can always call upon them to say, stay with us. There are many legal issues. What is the law saying? So I'm just laying the environment so that there must not be many questions when we seek to be assisted in terms of strengthening our debate. I think we have finalized everything. And my last request is that we defer the other programs like your minutes, like your other things, because the priority and the Free State report, they can always wait, because the priority is that other members participate in other committees and are supposed to be participating in the life of those committees. We can't have a monopoly here about our own members when they do work elsewhere in other committees. Therefore, I led by saying, can I say thank you to all those who participate? Can I apologize to those who feel They were not fairly treated by the chair. And also to say thank you for participating. We will always depend on your wisdom to go forward as the committee. If there's media, we help hope you will give the true story about what we have done, whether it's good or bad, but it should be true. And then at last, I can say, department, thank you so much for the commitment. And we will continue ensuring that we continue to be all, to breathe on your necks to ensure that you do the work. Department, portfolio committee, and your staff, thank you very much for everything. The venue was conducive to productive participation and made us to feel comfortable. Thank you so much. May we then adjourn until the next meeting. Thank you very much.